Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this church. Lord, we got something to talk about this morning that's a special gift from you. Help us to fully embrace that gift and embrace the gift of the Holy Spirit that allows us to appreciate every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father of lights. So bless us, Lord, in a very special way on this Sabbath day, in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, I remembered the one thing I was going to say, and that was at 1:30 this afternoon, the Family Ministries is going to be presenting a presentation on Mary Magdalene. Is that right? 1:30, am I right for that? And you know, also last Sunday morning, the men had, we had 15 men out from both Myrtle Creek and Canyonville. We heard a wonderful testimony. Fred gave his testimony. Fred, that was a powerful testimony. How many of you would love to hear that testimony in this church that weren't there? Whoa, you know what? You would be very blessed. So Fred, we got you pinned down now. You're gonna do it sometime, all right? Thank you. Well, I'm going to show you something. What is this? What's that?
Bread.
Bread. Yeah, I think it is. You know what? What kind of bread is it? You know, okay, if I wanted to have a sandwich that was full of nutrition and valued food value and keep me healthy and strong, do you think I ought to use this?
No.
No, no. You know what? There's not a whole lot on this except white bread. White bread. You know, there was a time in my life when this was the only type of bread I knew that there was. Because my parents were poor. Did you know at a Sunbeam Bakery in 1962, you could buy a loaf of this for 15 cents? And my parents, for $3, could buy, well, maybe $5, could buy enough bread for a family of six for a whole month. And I used white bread, and I took it to school. We had egg salad sandwiches, peanut butter sandwiches, everything you could possibly have inside of white bread. But the truth is, Kay is right, there's very little value in this. You know what I used to do with white bread? I used to take it. Did you ever take it and ball it up in your hands and make it into a round ball and go like that? You know, anyway. One day, though, a lady comes by our house. And this is very young in my life, and she brought this. You see this? You know what this says? It says 24 grain bread. You know you could put 24 grains of bread in a loaf of bread, Roy? Grains and seeds, 20 grams of whole grain per serving, vegan. I bought this at Ray's. Guess how much this cost? Yeah, it's about $4.40, something like that. You know, guess how much this cost? What's that? It was actually $1.49. Can you believe that? $1.49, almost $5.
You can get those for Sherman's for about 88 cents.
I bet you could. Yeah, I was thinking. You know what? What's the difference, Jim? What's that? Yeah, it's the ingredients, isn't it? It's actually, you know, the truth is they tried to allow rats to live on this. You know, they fed them a diet of white bread. Guess what? They died. They couldn't live. These are full of nutrients. I was thinking about the Sabbath. You say, what does the Sabbath have to do with bread? Well, quite a bit, actually, if you think about it. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, white bread.
Quicker, you're dead.
That's right. It has really no spiritual value, those days, do they? I mean, you can worship God on those days and take out your Bible or have a meeting of some kind. We have prayer meetings, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's just no spiritual, real spiritual blessing. But When it comes to the Sabbath, there's a day that has been fortified. Fortified with more than 24 grains. It's actually a lot of good stuff. I'm going to share with you something that will blow your mind this morning about the Sabbath. But I wanted to say, when you enter Friday night sundown, think about it as taking a big slice of very well fortified bread, nutritional bread, and feasting on it for 24 hours of time. And what are the ingredients of the Sabbath that we learned last week? God rested, blessed, that means he placed his verbal blessing upon, and then he sanctified, which we said means what? Set it apart for a holy use, a holy purpose. So he rested, blessed, sanctified, and hallowed. That means he filled it with his presence. All of that fortification is in the day that we are sitting in church today. So, truly, we should feel a deeper blessing than those who are worshiping on white bread days, right? I'm not saying anything against them. They're trying to do it. They're doing it innocently, and some of them very sincerely. Truth is, they haven't come for the nutrition like you have. There ought to be a special, special feeling that we get, a special relationship that we have from the Sabbath. So, when you look at the bread aisle in your local store, think about the Sabbath as the fortified bread. Well, we learned last Sabbath that the Sabbath day is God's signature on the document of creation. Document of creation has 6 points, you know, the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth day, and then at the bottom is God's signature called the Sabbath. He stepped back like the artist does and he says, one more stroke would be one too many on the paintbrush. He puts the paintbrush away and the paint's away and he says, it's finished, it's good. The Sabbath, when we come and worship on the Sabbath, we're saying to God, we believe that your creation is perfect. And that we're part of that creation. Secondly, we said the Sabbath is God's sign to us that we're engaged to be married. That's what the word sanctified actually means, is that when you see the wedding band or the wedding watch on a young lady and her face is glowing, you know she has been set apart, chosen as it were. Ezekiel 20 tells us that I am the Lord that has sanctified you. You ought to be different than the rest of the world when you're engaged to the Lord. And then the third thing is, the Sabbath is God's plea for quality time with his creation. Amen. Now, I want to ask you to look at the Sabbath from a completely different perspective. How big is your adrenal gland? How big is your adrenal gland, Kelly? You have any idea, Fred, Jim, anybody, how big is your adrenal gland? It's right above the kidney.
It's about half the kidney. Your kidney's not very big, so
yeah. You know, it's about the size of a small walnut, your adrenal gland. Now, that's going to come in handy in just a moment here, so I want you to remember that. Cindy and I attended a seminar that was in conjunction with the pastor's meeting some years ago. It actually was one of the most life-changing seminars I've ever gone to. The reason I say that is because we now take Monday off because of that seminar. Dr. Archibald Hart is a man who had a strange burden placed on him. He's a Christian, not an Adventist. He's a Christian doctor who said, you know what? There are, and he showed the statistics, I'm sure it's much more staggering now. The pastors and physicians who are actually burning out early in their career is astounding. Because the pastoral and the physician responsibilities, a lot of expectations, you oftentimes live unhealthy lives in those occupations because of the stress. You're having to burn the candle at both ends sometimes. And we've actually seen that. And Cindy and I attended this. Now, How can I tell you in just a few seconds what it took 3 days for him to outline? I still remember the details of it, so I'll try to do it as efficiently as I can. Dr. Hart had just been on a four-day cruise with the Gaithers out in the ocean somewhere, and he had just come fresh from that, so he was telling stories about how he, and what his ministry is to try to help pastors, musicians, you know, those who do public stuff, and physicians too, to lengthen their lives. And his whole focus for most of the time was the focus on the adrenal gland. The sad true fact is that we develop a tendency to depend upon adrenaline. It's like a drug. Those who rely on adrenaline are the ones with hectic lives. Can I confess something to you? You may not think of me the same. When I was 25 to 45, I did something that you're not going to believe, but I did it. I spent my week visiting members, having board meetings, prayer meetings, and all the other things, and I'd spend it with my family because my family were young during those years. I even hate to admit this, but you know what I would do? I would have Friday night worship with my family. And then I would say, bye-bye, and I'd go into my office. And I would come out at 6:15 in the morning with a sermon completely written. Now, there's one good thing about that. I could get up in front and preach that thing from memory. I didn't have to have any notes, because I had just written it. Now, I had prepared, you know, throughout the week with materials, but I hadn't put it together till that time. I stayed up all night. I'd go through Sabbath morning. I'd travel to two churches, and I'd do afternoon sing-alongs, and I'd come home, and I would crash. Boy, if you called me at 5 o'clock on Sabbath afternoon, you couldn't get me. I was dead. You know what it did? Caused diabetes. How big is your adrenal gland? Size of a walnut. Did you know that the pathologists tell you that when they cut open men who have their 55-year heart attack, guess how big their adrenal gland is? Can you imagine the size of a softball or a large orange? That's the 100% of cases, Dr. Hart said, they find the adrenal gland the size of an orange. And I would bet mine was at least that big. It's a sad thing to acknowledge. Now, here's the tricky part. Here's the tricky part. You say, well, what is adrenaline for? Does anybody know? Why do we have adrenal glands? What's that? Yeah, let's say you encounter a big dog in a dark alley on a dark night, like that, and then immediately adrenaline goes, shoop, and then you suddenly feel like you could almost run 100 miles an hour, right? That's adrenaline. There was a guy on Tuesday of this last week who was jogging in Colorado. You probably heard about him. And fortunately, he didn't have his headphones on, so he was jogging along. He stopped to take a few deep breaths, and he heard a crackling noise behind him. It was a cougar, a juvenile cougar that was chasing him. And he didn't know it. If he'd had headphones on, he'd have been a dead man. But he heard the crack of a twig, and he looks around, and this thing jumps right on him. And for 15 and a half minutes, he said, he fought that thing. And, I mean, that thing was out to get him. It wouldn't stop. He tried to yell. He tried to do all they say you should do. And I tell you what, that guy, he just simply had to fight for his life. He finally got his hand inside the mouth of the cougar, which had its own problems, I'm sure. He's got a pretty mangled-looking hand. And then he cornered its two back feet. You know, the back feet of a cougar can disembowel you very quickly if you're not careful. So he got a hold of the two back feet, got his hand in the mouth, and then he put his knee on the neck of the creature, and it took him about 10 minutes to suffocate the animal, and it died. He had to go back to his car. It was 3 miles away. He said, I jogged that just like that. Why? Because he was so full of adrenaline that, man, that guy had enough adrenaline for 2 weeks. Could you imagine that? That's what adrenaline will do. Now, here's the tricky part of adrenaline. How do you release adrenaline? Well, do you have to meet a cougar? No. Let me share with you what you have to do. Now, maybe you haven't done any of these things, okay? But if you think you're off the hook not having met a grizzly bear or a cougar lately, think again. Here's how you release adrenaline. Through anger? You don't get angry, do you? Fear? Unforgiveness? Grudge holding? Hurriedness? Meeting deadlines? Overwork? Traffic jams? Worry? Inability to relax? You ever notice somebody that just looks like a restless sea all the time? You meet them and they're releasing adrenaline and they don't know it. It's dangerous. I'll tell you why in a minute. Unresolved stress, lack of inner peace, all of these things. Your adrenaline starts to react. You wonder why some people need to do bungee jumping or parachuting. You know, they're just into this adrenaline sports. Or they need this, you know, little bottle that you see that says 5-hour energy. They need a shot of something, and they get dependent. Adrenaline is like a drug. You become addicted to it. I was on Friday night. You know what? I couldn't think good thoughts all week long about a sermon, putting it together, until suddenly my neck was on the line. I knew I had to have a sermon. I mean, what if I, with 6 o'clock, I didn't have a sermon? That's the worst thing. And I tell you what, my body just went into the boom, panic mode. And boy, did I put out sermons. And they were, some of them were pretty good, actually. But boy, did I pay a price. Still paying a price, by the way. What's so dangerous about adrenaline? You said, I thought this was going to be on the Sabbath. Yes, it is. I'm going to be quick about this. Adrenaline is dangerous for this reason. Adrenaline, when it comes into your system, has an enzyme which is called cortisol. C-O-R-T-I-Z-O-L, I think. Cortisol. And cortisol is an enzyme released into your body. Now, it should be only released at times of fear, which would only happen once every 2 or 3 weeks, maybe, right? Under normal circumstances, if you release it every day, it's a constant presence in your body, causes hardening of the arteries, high cholesterol. See how that all works together? It's a killer. Now, can you see why Dr. Hart, in his presentation, turned to us Seventh-day Adventists, and he said, by the way, I just came from the Gaither group, and he said, but I'm talking to you guys who have an advantage. You're Seventh-day Adventists, because what is built into the Seventh-day Adventist religion? The Sabbath, the day of rest. And that's exactly what Dr. Hart came to tell us. But his question to us was, are you taking full advantage of that? He actually outlined a program that Cindy and I picked up and followed. He said, don't take Sunday off. You go, well, that'd be a natural day. You work hard on Sabbath, you take Sunday off, right? No, no. You have released, I'm releasing adrenaline right now as I'm up here in front of you. And so I go to another church and do the same thing and, you know, do some afternoon programs, and I've got all kinds of... What happens on Sunday morning when you're full of adrenaline the day before? You're grouchy as can be. Do you know the worst day to go on vacation is the first day, because you're coming off of getting everything done for the churches and the bulletins and running this and calling that person, doing this and that, and pretty soon you go on vacation and you're all grouchy because your body's full of adrenaline. He said, and Sunday, sit down and call people, do low-impact stuff. He said, you know, do filing in your office, but don't go doing anything great and amazing on Sunday as the Seventh-day Adventist. He said, just let the adrenaline go through your body. Then wake up Monday morning. Guess what? When I wake up Monday morning, I'm feeling good. Why? Because the adrenaline has finally worked its way through my body. So that's why we do that. Here's what he said. In the very heart of God's law, a vital sign is measured with a regular rhythm beating every 7 days, marked by alternating work and rest. The Sabbath is central and vital to the health of all creation. Boy, I wish I had another half an hour to preach, because you're going to see 8 minutes of a video, probably the likes of which you may not have ever seen before. But before you do that, I'm going to summarize my remarks by telling you this. Did you know that all creation is in tune with the seventh-day Sabbath? Now, that has been proven in many different ways. And Dr. Sang Lee has done a study. Have you ever heard of Sang Lee? Raise your hand. Yeah. Dr. Lee used to be, I don't know where he is now, but he used to be in Weimar. Dr. Lee followed the cell development, the development of our cells. You know what he said? He said that our cells have a resting pattern built into them. It's called a circusception rhythm. Circusception rhythm. That means every seventh day there's a rest. This is not just in the human world. It's in the animal world. It's in the plant world. It's in the cellular makeup of our body. According to Dr. Lee, our cells have a life of their own. The health of the cells in our body is determined by the ratio of work that they receive. A cell has a built-in 6-day work cycle, but if they do not get rest periodically, they will become abnormal in their development. Do you know that? You ever wonder why we have cancer? Do you know what cancer is? Cancer is actually a makeup of cells that do not know when to rest. Therefore, they just work all the time. And you know, cancer cells develop what Cindy was told, the lower grade types of cancer multiply 93 million times a day, 93 million cells a day. But they do it, when they come to the sixth day, they just keep working, because they've gone out of control. Healthy cells, though, work for 6 days, they build up for 6 days, and then there's a 24-hour refractory time upon which the cell is stabilized so it can go again. And there are all kinds of medical terminology that I don't know, can't tell you about, that explains this, but it's actually the truth, folks. Circusception rhythm is the seven-day rhythm, and doctors find this very true. The most intriguing of all biological rhythms are those set to a clock of about 7 days. Circusception, or about weekly rhythms, are one of the major surprises turned up by modern chronobiology. 15 years ago, few scientists would have expected that 7-day biological cycles would prove it to be so widespread and so long established. Remember I said to you last week, I said the only organism that is out of tune with God's Sabbath is the what? The stubborn brain of mankind. They don't want to do it. Do you know that there are beavers that do not come out of their den on Saturday? Do you know that there are bees that do not come out of their hives on Saturday? Did you know that there's an ox in Russia that kept Saturday? You're going to see it all right now. In a short time, 8.5 minutes actually is what it is.
In a remote area of Brazil. They say those bees will go into their hive on Friday night and stay there until Saturday night. They don't come out of their hive. And so that's one example. There's the other example of, how many of you have heard of the Seventh-day Ox story?
Nikolai Panchuk was a Christian pastor who got sentenced to a Siberian prison for hard labor. Nikolai was a faithful Sabbath keeper, which meant he wouldn't work on Saturdays. This got him into all kinds of trouble at the prison camp. Each time he refused to work on Saturdays, he was confined inside a small wooden box for 10 days. Now, this nearly killed him, yet he still remained faithful to his convictions about the Sabbath. After being confined in the box several times, Nikolai was finally able to make a bargain with one of the wardens. Here's the deal he was offered. If he could get all his week's work done in 6 days, he could have Saturdays off. Unfortunately, he was given the job of hauling water for the camp. He was to drive an ox with a cart all the way down to the spring to draw water, then haul it back up to the camp. The problem was with the ox. The ox was stubbornly slow, and the more he tried to motivate the beast, the slower it would go. So he was constantly behind on his work, and by Thursday, he was so far behind schedule that it looked impossible to get his 7 days' worth of work done in only six. But when Friday came, something unusual happened. The ox could hardly wait to get to work, and as soon as it was hitched up to the cart, it started to run. To and from the spring, it continued running all day long, so that just before the sun set on Friday, Nikolai got all the water hauled for the entire week, and he got Saturday off. This continued every week. The ox would be slow Sunday through Thursday, but it would run on Friday. And even after Nikolai Panchuk was released from prison, the ox continued the same pattern each week with the new prison worker. It all started when we moved out of the city. We moved way up here, way up to this remote area by the Modoc National Forest. Here, I discovered this really neat beaver colony. I was so excited by this close encounter with nature that I started to film with a video camera. That's when I made a remarkable observation. These beavers were out and about every day of the week except Saturdays. I was never able to get any pictures on Saturdays. So I decided to do a little study.
I know they're alive because I can hear them. I can hear them inside the lodge here. Listen to this. I guess these guys need a day off too. But why did they pick Saturday? Do they even know it's Saturday? Or maybe it's just a coincidence. The only way to find out is to keep on observing through another week. Obviously come back out of the lodge. They look healthy. So I'll just keep watching and see what's on their schedule for this week.
Another week of observation, and the beavers were out every day, busy as usual. Sunday through Friday at about the same time every day. And then came Saturday. And just like the first week, all was quiet again. This continued on week after week, month after month, summer and winter, with the same results.
Watching these beavers for about 16 years. He's been getting to be kind of an expert on beaver behavior, at least with this family of beavers.
They seem like normal animals, except we've never once seen them out on Saturdays.
By the way, my son put me up to this one. He's told me about it. My oldest son in Oak Harbor, Washington. He's actually going to buy Cindy and I a copy of the whole documentary. It's about an hour long on the Seventh-day Beavers, and we're going to show it one of the Wednesday nights throughout this series, probably on into March or April. When we get it, we'll show that one for a Wednesday night, and we'll let you know when that is. You know, boy, I had so much more prepared than I could say today, but I want to tell you this. Sabbath is amazing. It's in more of creation than we even realize. In heaven, can you imagine how God is going to show us how He designed us as creatures to be in tune with His frequencies? By the way, and Chuck, I'm not sure if we will be able to show these texts, but I appreciate Chuck being up there, and he's, yeah, there we go. Here's the, you know, read it with me. Let's just read it as we close here. Read it with me. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, and stop right there. What are the next three words? No, your cattle. Do you realize that nature is tuned in? You know, it isn't just a day that God said to the Jews, as some say, we'll keep it. He actually started it at creation, and He included the animal kingdom. We saw evidence of that just now. Notice, nor your cattle, nor the stranger who's in your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the God blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, if you looked at that commandment, what would you say the overall purpose of the Sabbath was? It is actually to honor creation. It says, work 6 days and keep the Sabbath because God created it, created everything. Now, but I've always been told that the Sabbath is also a sign of redemption. Amen. And I used to say to myself, but where do we get that out of the fourth commandment? No, you know that there's two fourth commandments in the Old Testament? Let's go to the next one, and Chuck's put it up there. Read this with me. This is the one out of Deuteronomy 5. Listen to the focus of the Sabbath here. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, and male servant, nor female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who's within your gates. that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. Now, here is where you talked about creation in the other commandment, but look, it doesn't say a thing about creation. Look what it says. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Ah, and the Lord your God brought you out. He delivered you. That's redemption from sin. Amen. There's the other redemption. I didn't really realize that till just recently when I studied. I said, where's redemption in this? Here it is. In the second rendering in Deuteronomy, there's the one in Exodus 20 and now in Deuteronomy that Moses gave to the people. Oh, wow. I'm going to sum it all up. It's called When God Comes Closest to Our Hearts. What happens when the Sabbath arrives each Friday night? What really does take place on earth when sun sinks out of sight? My mother used to draw the curtains close at close of day. In doing so, she bade the outside world to go away. The Sabbath draws the curtains upon a busy week, and God invites us all to get the rest for which we seek. God takes our cares away from us if we have been uptight and places them upon the shelf called rest each Friday night. He offers us a special gift of time from heaven above. It comes wrapped with a special bowl called His eternal love. We sense a special ambiance, a fragrance that it brings. It's different than the other days. With heaven's joy, it rings. The Sabbath day has been enriched, the Bible does explain. In it are things which common weekdays simply don't contain. God rested on the seventh day from all that He had made. He filled it with His presence, calling it a holy day. The Bible tells us that the Sabbath day is sanctified. Its purpose then is different, for it's been set aside. The Sabbath is God's special date with His created ones. He wants to know us better through fellowship and fun. Our hearts should ring with happiness, with heavenly delight, for God comes nearer to us at sunset Friday night. So don't pass up this special gift our Savior does impart. The Sabbath is the day when God comes closest to your heart. Amen. Would you bow your heads? Father, thank you. Thank you that even the animals and the cells in our bodies cry out the Sabbath rest. Oh Lord, this is one of the greatest blessings that if received, as Ellen White has said, if the Sabbath would have been diligently kept from creation, there would not be an atheist, an agnostic, or someone who doesn't believe in you. What a powerful day it is. It's also going to be that day which will separate the sheep from the goats at the end of time, those who truly hear God's word and obey Him, and those who follow the beast and His image. So what an important, impactful day this is. May we renew our love for You through the Sabbath experience that You have gifted us with. Thank You for each one here. May this rest of this Sabbath be an eternal blessing for us. In Jesus' name, amen.